Today's episode is about the AL East. The season is 3 days away. The Yankees kick off their season against the Boston Red Sox on April 7th. Eovaldi against Cole, a wild card game matchup rematch. And so today, since this might be the last episode before the season, what a long offseason me and Isaac went through. We started off with like naming cars for players and doing all sorts of stuff. We did. I don't know. It's kind of fun.
You guys
got
very creative. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we got very creative. Our Waldorf
naming the Yankees player by their voices—that was hilarious.
Yeah, we did a lot. I don't even remember that. So yeah, today is the last day of the off-season episodes. We want to end things off with an AL East projections episode or predictions episode. Me, Isaac, and Ollie. Me and Isaac are huge Yankee fans. Ollie's a Red Sox fan, and we'll chip in on the Blue Jays and Rays and Orioles and what we think there. He's still got his Eovaldi jersey on. So yeah, to kick things off,
I have a question for Ollie.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Have you changed that jersey in the last week since you first did the starting pitching with Ken, or have you taken it off? Has it been glued to you? Is my question.
That's a great question. I'm gonna change the question a little bit here. Have you taken it off since the day I gave it to you, or me and Linus gave it to you?
I mean, here's the thing. If opening day is 10 days away, so opening day, like, about 5 days ago, I realized opening day was 10 days away, and because it was going to be Eovaldi Cole, I knew I had to wear the jersey every day. Like, I just knew that that's what I had to do for Eovaldi, was wear it every day before opening day. And so you might have the impression I'm wearing it every day, and I am, but I don't wear it the entirety of every day. Like, I put it on for the podcast, and I'm going to wear it on my bike ride today. But to answer your question, it has seen the inside of a washing machine since I recorded my starting pitcher episode with Ken. So I may be a Red Sox fan, but I'm not disgusting.
Okay, copy that, guys. That's a great answer too.
Copy that.
Also, my new Reds banner on the wall, plus my $30 Reds Cincinnati fan? Reds hat. Oh yeah.
Big Reds fan.
What's going on, Ollie?
Picked this up in Cincinnati while I was there.
Oh, you went to Cincinnati.
Also got a Joey Votto t-shirt. Yeah, it's the wife.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, so moving on, I think, where do we want to start? I think we should start at the bottom, maybe the orange team.
Good call. The unmentionable orange team.
Okay, so the Baltimore Orioles. Let me get this up. They were a 52-win team last year with 110 losses, 48 games behind the first-place Rays. Just to give you some, do you want to do rotation and lineup, or do you want to just talk about the Orioles first?
I mean, they have lost 100 plus games.
Go ahead.
You almost say what, Isaac?
I was just going to say a quick comment on how, just to emphasize how terrible they are. They've lost 100 plus games three of the last five seasons. The only year they weren't in last place was 2020 in the 60 game year. And they're just a wonderful example of how to run an organization into the ground as quickly and as repeatedly as possible. It's a testament to mismanagement, man. The Orioles could have been good. The Orioles were a playoff team circa 2014, but then you let Adam Jones go, and you fail to develop pitching, and you don't draft pitchers, and I don't know. It's a study of a mess.
Yeah. I don't know. They're rebuilding. I hope they get a little better, even though I'm a Yankee fan. It's like kind of just boring how bad
it's hard
they are.
To watch,
I think their payroll is what, like 35, 40 million this year? Kind of close to what Cole's making alone. Yeah.
The interesting thing about them is that everyone gauges other teams on how much they're going to beat up on the Orioles. Like, one of a good talking point in this offseason was who, out of the Blue Jays, Yankees, and Red Sox, which one of them will beat up on the Orioles the most? Which, if you take a step back at, like, oh, yeah, obviously who's going to win the most, that's kind of a sad point if you're the Orioles. So, I mean, yeah, they got nothing
I know.
Going on.
They're everybody's punching bag, yeah.
Okay, I'm gonna stand for the Orioles a little bit. They do have something going on. They have a young center fielder named Cedric Mullins who broke out on the scene last year, all-star center fielder. They have their DH now, Trey Mancini, who bounced back from cancer. Great story. And posted a really good season as well. I think he was the comeback player of the year. They have a couple young guys, Ryan Mountcastle, Anthony Santander, Austin Hayes, a good hitter. And they're banking on younger guys who are more unproven, Jorge Mateo, Ramon Urias. And then they got their diamond in the rough. Not diamond in the rough. He's a first-round pick or first overall pick, but they're counting on their AAA star, Adley Rutschman. I think he's number one overall prospect in all of baseball now. He's switching in catcher with power, average, everything, you name it. And hopefully he makes his debut this year, early this year, so that could be something interesting about the Orioles. But other than that, they have John Means at the top of the rotation, but that's all I got for the Orioles right now.
Yeah, there are reasons to be optimistic, but I don't see them competing before 2024. The reason I have hope for the Orioles is that their pitching prospects are better than you might think, because it's not only Grayson Rodriguez, who everyone talks about, who could debut this year and probably get up to 10 starts, but they also have DL Hall, who's their lefty option, who throws like upper 90s, nasty stuff. He's on Pitching Ninja. And so what I see the Orioles doing is not just the image we have for them is building around Rutschman as like the all-star catcher, the next kind of Buster Posey figure. But I think what they should do is really build around their starting pitching. Like try to assemble like a 3-4-man group of homegrown guys who they've developed, you know, behind John Means that can like, even in the AL East, carry them to 80 wins or so by 2024.
Yeah.
Just one thing, seen if they'll have success with that, because yeah,
John Means is 28. Do you think his timeline fits the timeline of the Orioles rebuild? 2024, he's gonna be what?
No,
32. I don't know if he's there for that.
I don't even know how many starts he gets with Adley Rutschman. I don't think, and also I think that he had a great year last year, but I mean, let's be honest, he's not repeating that year again, especially with the things the way are in the AL East. Is in my opinion.
Ollie did have him in the top 10 list.
Well, to harp on John Means, it's funny we spend so much time discussing John Means, but he, there's, I think Isaac, and now you know baseball very well, of course, and I'm not judging your knowledge of the situation here, but I think you may be falling prey to a kind of a industry-wide bias against John Means, based on a bias against.
I'm the conductor of that train. I don't believe in John Means.
Well, here's the thing. Let me submit some counterarguments. First of all, WHIP of 1.04 last year.
Yeah, he throws
expected
strikes.
ERA. Yeah, exactly. Expected ERA was lower than his actual ERA. Also, Camden Yards got his outfield fences moved back this year. His biggest weakness last year was the home run, was the unlucky three-run homer, etc. But Camden fence moved back like 25 feet this year. That's going to lower the home run rate. And even though he had a brief injury risk last year, he came back strong at the end of the year, and his stuff is as good as it was. Like, his curveball is one of the top five curveballs in the division. He also threw a no-hitter. Like, he has the ability to take over games, okay. And even though okay. he's not Cole Evaldi level, he's, I think people are predicting, like, regression to where he has, like, a 4-5 ERA and barely gets 104
innings.
No.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that, so I had him on my team for most of the fantasy year, and he did go through injury, and counterpoint to your counterpoint, he also was not as dominant after the sticky stuff was out, and that's something I noticed. I think in his first start back, he looked flat and was very hittable. And what made him so good initially was that he went from throwing low 90s in the previous 2 years to starting to get that 94, 95, which from a lefty is very good. But just the main point of it, I think that sticky stuff was helping him out a lot with his spin rate on his curveball and his, you know, off-speed pitches, because he was always a guy that threw all strikes. Right. But
I agree with both of you. I think that was a kind of a healthy debate. As the host, though, I have to get us off of John Means a little bit. We've been talking about John Means for a little bit.
Could we do a separate episode on John Means?
We might have to. John Means debate episode, Isaac.
He's on my team, so I have to believe him.
Yeah. Oh, right. I forgot about that. Aaron just hit a 3-run home run for the newsflash. Anyway, moving on, I think I just have a couple questions to you guys about the Orioles. What would you consider a successful season for them? They were a 50-win basement team last year. What would you consider a successful season? What would be a successful season?
Yeah, so I took some notes on this one. And for me, it's not about like wins or runs scored or racking up wins against the AL East. It's really just getting time in the MLB for their young stars. So I said a successful season is 90-plus games for Adley, 15 starts for Grayson Rodriguez, a sub-5 team ERA I thought was achievable if they can finally harness some of the talent in those young pitchers they have. And I did also say, I also said 60 wins would be considered successful, which is obviously a very, very low bar, and they could probably reach that. But I don't think you can last much longer winning like 50 games like they have. But I don't know. I mean, that might be ambitious even for them, because right now it does kind of look like it's just Mullins, Means, and nobody else.
Yeah, I like your first few benchmarks for them to hit. Isaac, you have anything on that?
I mean, to be honest with you, I really don't. The Orioles are, like I said before, kind of sad team to watch. They make me sad thinking about them. I honestly think like if they can, I don't know, take like 10 games away from the Yankees, like I think it's for them, it's all about taking games away from the other AL East like super teams. So a successful season for them would look at playing spoiler to the Yankees, Red Sox, or anyone they're playing late in the season. That's honestly all I have for the Orioles.
All right.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's a good point. I mean, John Means could no-hit the Yankees three times, and that'd be three less wins.
exactly. And
So there you
with
go.
this AL East the way it is, three wins can win or lose you a division.
Exactly. Get you a wild card or not.
All right. Yeah. I did not think we were going to spend that much time on the Orioles. I know I wrote in our research document here, Cy Young MVP breakout player of the year thing, awards type things. Did you guys, I know before the episode Isaac was talking, did you guys have that as like each team you had one award, or did you have that as a whole AL East?
I
I
had it
did
as a whole
recently.
AL East. But
Oh, okay.
I've been filling
Okay.
in as we go, but I thought you meant just like those five categories for the whole AL East, because for each team kind of doesn't
Okay.
make any sense, I feel like.
Ollie,
But
if you did have it, you just give us your awards.
feel free.
For the Orioles?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
Yeah, so Delphi. So I mean, I did pretty, I think, predictable picks for the Orioles, but I had their Cy Young being Grayson Rodriguez, provided he comes up and has a huge impact right away. MVP is Mullins. Breakout player of the year, I had DL Hall. Rookie, of course, Adley Rutschman. And bounce back player, I put Anthony Santander, who still has a lot of untapped power and ran into some bad at bats last year.
Okay, hold on.
Those are mine.
You have all three of their top prospects coming up this year.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
There's
I guess
a,
that's achievable.
yeah, because like, well, there's this great site online that like ranks a prospect for each team and gives them their estimated time of arrival. And all those guys are estimated to arrive in 2022. Like Adley could be up. I think, is Adley on the opening day roster? I'm not sure,
No,
but
I
he
think
could
he
be
got hurt.
up
He got
early
hurt.
part of the season. Adley got hurt? Oh,
I'm pretty
bummer.
sure he got like a foot injury early on.
Well, that might delay him, but I think we
Yeah.
could all agree he's probably still their most likely rookie of the year. If he gets like
Yeah.
even just 70 games.
Yeah. All right. That about wraps it up for the Orioles. Moving on. Should we go to a blue team, red team, navy team? Where do you guys want to go next?
I could do
I don't
some
want to
Let's
give
talk
away any
birds.
Rays, because I
You
don't
want,
want
oh,
to
you
give
want to talk
away
some
anything
birds?
of from our projection predictions, you know? I don't want to give away
Good point,
like
good point, good point.
so let, we, I want to kind of like
I
be
think, how about
unpredictable here.
this?
Let's do Rays. Let's
Let's
do
save
Rays. Let's
the
get that out of the
Yanks.
way.
Okay, yeah.
We're saving
Let's
Red
save the
Sox,
Yanks,
Yankees just
Sox,
because we
and
have so
Jays.
much to talk about.
Good point.
Yeah. All right, the fucking Rays, guys. I hate the Rays with a passion, even just as much as the
Yes.
Red Sox. The way they play baseball is just so unorthodox, so frustrating to have to be in the same division with. Obviously, they got their young stars in Wander Franco, Randy Arozarena, Austin Meadows, but they got these bench guys. This is what I want to talk about. They got these bench guys and role players that just buy into their system and know what they're doing, know what their place is on the roster. Guys like G-Man Choi, Yandy Diaz,
Brett
Brandon Lau is a
Phillips.
su Brett Phillips. Brandon Lau is a super, or kind of a star on his own, but he's kind of a role player for them. Mike Zunino, Margot. They just find guys with talent. That haven't been able to reach their potential in other organizations, and they'll make them believe in themselves that this is what they do. They make them buy into their system, and here they that just leads to wins.
So,
This is a computer.
I do
It's
actually,
plug and play.
I do actually have awards for them. I
Okay.
think we should break down the Rays in terms of awards, because I feel like that'll lead us into other conversations. So how about we
Go for it.
start and we go around, go for the categories? Like, we'll all say our Cy Young, and then we'll all go through our MVP. And I think me and Ken are going to have the same pick for Cy Young, so I'm going to start. It's Shane McClanahan. He is absolutely nasty.
Talk for me, baby.
Lefty throwing 100. You don't see it very often, and especially throwing in Tropicana, with, you know, a field like that that no hitters like. I mean, he is just nasty. He was really under the radar the last 2 years, but as a Yankees fan, we've seen him a lot. So that's my guy for him, for Cy Young.
I want to just chime in a little bit on Shane McClanahan. I know Ollie asked me if I liked his secondary pitches in the AL East rankings video. At the time, I wasn't sure. I knew he had a decent slider, decent curveball, but I kind of, when I was editing that episode, I was going through his highlights on Baseball Savant. His curveball is kind of gross. It falls off a table, and I know he, I don't remember the percentages of how many. I know he's very fastball heavy still, but if he can incorporate that, throw it for more for strikes. And then get that tumbling action. It's kind of like a Glasnow curveball from the left side when it's on. So I do, to answer your questions a month later, I do like his secondary stuff.
Wow, thanks for the update. I appreciate that. Yeah. I was waiting for your answer for months on that one. Yeah, he's fire for sure. Nasty curveball, sliders like low 90s. I saw him throw a slider at 93 to strike somebody out on like some start somewhere. But yeah, he's gross. And lefty guys who throw hard can have a lot of success. If they stay healthy.
Young?
McClanahan, he is also my Cy Young pick. I think that's pretty easy for that team. Again, he hasn't like proved himself over more than the one season he had last year. I think this year is just one where we wait to see what he can do over a full season with hopefully 30 starts. With the Rays, he probably won't get above 160 innings. But yeah, we'll see what his strikeout rates are like. Like if he has, you know, he might get above 180 strikeouts. He might be a guy who gives you 5-6 innings with 10 strikeouts a game. He could be like a, at his best, even like a Carlos Rodon, you know. And if he is that, if he does that for the Rays, that could help them fight for the wild card spot because they need an ace so badly without Glasnow. And he's not the same pitcher as Glasnow. He throws hard. He's got a similar like hard curveball thing, but Glasnow is an animal all on his own. And it's a lot to ask for a young guy like Shane to replace Tyler Glasnow. But if anyone can do it, I think he can.
Yeah. He even got a start in the fucking playoffs last year, along with Shane Baz and Patino. Did Patino get a start in the playoffs?
No, it was Rasmussen and the Colin McHugh.
Oh, Rasmussen. Yeah.
Patino did not know.
So it was McClanahan. It's right now as the rotation shakes out to start opening day without Baz and Glasnow. Shane McClanahan as their ace. Drew Rasmussen as the second behind him. Corey Kluber, their new pickup. 3, Ryan Yarbrough. 4, Luis Patino. 5. They got potential, definitely. And their bullpen guys, I was looking at their bullpen guys, they literally have like 15, maybe even like 16, 17 guys who like we've heard of, and me and Isaac have experienced really bad. We had a really bad time watching them pitch against the Yankees.
Bad luck.
They just have guys that I don't understand where they come. Like Colin McHugh last year, he was one of the grossest relief pitchers.
I know, out of
like,
nowhere.
Where do
disgusting,
they?
Disgusting, bro. Disgusting.
Where do they tap? Yeah,
he used to
be
in Houston. Just like a ride from Houston, then comes up and turns into their best reliever, like
it's
a spot
insane.
Starter. How do you do
it's
this?
Insane.
Like, tell me how to manage a team like that.
The list goes on.
Tell
and
Tell Alex Cora how to manage a team like that, bro. All right, Jalen Beeck sucks, but yeah, I see what you're saying.
Excuse me, Andrew Kittredge. Like that guy was a fool.
Yeah, dude.
That
Kittredge
was
disgusting.
Before.
He's my like backup Cy Young pick for the Rays. Cause that dude's gross. Like 268.
I did think you might go bullpen arm for a Cy Young. That would have been a.
I was. I mean, I was
he
like.
He throws a frisbee slider too.
Bro, Kittredge is a
does.
Monster.
Absolute
he was.
Frisbee.
I was honestly contemplating having him as my Cy Young pick just because I wanted to like go against the grain. But when you guys both said McClanahan, I was like, all right, I'm going to be roasted if I say Kittredge. But you would not have roasted me if I said Kittredge.
No, I thought that might
You'd
be where
on
you
my
might
side.
Go with it. Yeah,
I was gonna say Kittredge. Right?
I might have roasted you a little bit.
I was gonna say Kittredge.
I might have roasted you a little bit, but yeah.
No.
All right,
well,
let's
all
move
right,
on.
Do
no,
you
want
to move on to our?
Okay.
Yeah, go for it. You got it, Isaac.
Okay. So the MVP category. This is a big one, obviously. But this is especially hard with the Rays team because they rotate so many guys in, and you can only really pick out one or two guys from their lineup, at least, that is getting consistent playing time And so I have a kind of a Randy slash Lowe situation. I actually don't think Randy is going to be as good as he's been.
Wait,
I think
time out.
I think the league will figure him out eventually.
I agree.
Sorry. Time out.
But let me lead onto it. Okay, time out.
When we say MVP, you can't have a Brandon Lowe slash Randy Arozarena type situation. That's two guys that
are very capable. I was getting there if you let me finish.
Okay. Get to one guy, please.
So I was explaining why it's not Randy, because the league has adjusted to him, I believe.
Okay.
So I'm going to go Lau, because I think he's going to be the steadfast 1-2 hitter. And he's coming off of not a great season where he really went through some struggles. So I could see him bouncing back and having a very good year this year and being the best hitter on their team.
Best hitter on their team. Interesting. Okay. Ollie, you want to get your MVP?
Can I get
here?
Chime in. Okay.
You don't like that I said he was struggling?
No. Here's the thing. Brandon Lau is also the MVP of that team. But I don't know what you're saying about him having a bad year last year. What is this? Are you talking about the same guy?
No, 142. Inconsistency. Because at one point in the year, I remember him, he was an automatic out for half a year.
What are you talking about? This dude had a 142 OPS plus. This dude's numbers were rock solid all season long. Dude, he had a 5.7 offensive war for the Rays. This dude's like their best offensive player since Longoria. I mean, I'm saying I love the MVP pick. I'm just saying, like, you should be way more confident in Lau. I'm all saying this because he's on my team. He's my second baseman. But you should be even more confident in Lau than you are.
Yeah, but for someone to be the best hitter on their team doesn't bat, like, 240. I understand averages isn't the biggest
thing. It's the Rays. Like, their ballpark is, like, 600 feet to center field.
He also had, like, a 900 OPS last year, I think. 919 or something.
863.
I understand that, but I don't know if you remember when he turned into not even a scary out at sometimes the Yankee Stadium last year. He went, I don't know, he just seems really inconsistent to me. And
I know what you're thinking of.
Bias, because I remember him in the playoffs was like really struggling too. And like, I don't know, he doesn't seem like a big game player to me. Like, I understand, like, I'm looking at his stats now. Okay, yeah, he had a good year, but it I just don't feel like he's ever been, like, a superstar caliber.
I know exactly where you're thinking.
I don't know.
I think
I guess
he started off the playoffs, like, 1
for
20.
He has a track record of – in the playoffs. I mean, if you're going to judge a player by having rough stretches in the playoffs, I'm going to introduce you to a guy named Clayton Kershaw and about 30 other names, too. Okay, he's been a – well above average offensive contributor for all 4 years of his career, and he's been trending upwards. His OPS plus gets higher every season. His power numbers get better every season, and he's only slugged below 500 once. Like, these are not the super advanced expected numbers, but if you're putting up numbers like this from age 23 to 26 for the Rays, you got something going on. He might not hit 39 homers again, but he's definitely good for 30-80, you know, mid 800s OPS. And right now, with the Rays' offensive situation, what it is, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah. All right, Ollie, you're
5.7
offensive pretty low. He ranks pretty low in defensive war, too. And he kind of regressed from 2019 to 2020. So last year was actually a good year for him. But in 2019, he had a 2.9 war, and then he went down to 2.5 in 2020. And
that was
all
a 60-game season.
Yeah, I understand.
2.5 in 60 games is elite.
He right, also kind sorry, of, like, I don't know. He right. Shit the bed in the playoffs, and that's probably the only thing I can remember about him.
Another
but, yeah.
great conversation about Brandon. I love this, by the way. I can't wait to get to, like, the Red Sox-Yankee debates when we can get really heated.
Oh, yeah.
Ollie, you want to give your MVP? I think I know where you're going.
I also said Brandon Lau, obviously.
Oh, really? Is that obvious?
Yeah.
I thought you were going Wander.
I agree with Isaac's pick. Oh, I have him for another category, but yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah, I think we all have him for Rookie of the Year, too. Well, actually, I don't have him for Rookie of the Year.
I think he might have gone over his limit for rookie, but go ahead, Ken.
I think he did. I think he went over the limit. I have Randy as my MVP, but we can just move on.
What?
Okay.
What? A Rosarena?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
That Randy, are you baked? Yeah,
why are you picking
a Randy? Is that a meme? Give us, okay, that's a good joke. Give us your real pick now. Give us the real
Randy
pick.
Randy Arozarena. He is the fucking god.
All right,
He's
let me.
He's going to have one of the best.
You're joking.
I'm not
joking. You can't be serious.
I don't like Brandon
Lau. You're good. You know baseball well.
I know baseball well.
Let me read you some of his expected numbers, dude. This guy, I was just looking at how overrated he was last year. Bro, expected numbers. Look at that. He had.
All right, give it to me.
Okay. Randy Rosania's weighted on base average last year, 350. Okay. Very solid.
Yeah.
I'd take that for an MVP pick. His expected weighted 302, difference of 0.048. That was by far the highest on his team.
Listen to me. Okay. Listen to me about Randy. His weakness right now is that he swings at every. He's a free swinger. He doesn't take his bases.
Oh yeah. If Aldi struck him out like 40 times on sliders, bro.
Yeah, yeah. He gets very swing happy, and I think it starts off with his confidence. He's like on top of the world when it comes to confidence, and I think he kind of got knocked down last year. At the end of the year, he kind of went cold. I think this year he has a different mindset. This is his third year now, or second full year.
Different mindset. What are you, a psychologist? Easily. What are you, no, Sigmund Freud?
In terms of hitting approach,
different.
His first. Okay, so his first get go was in the.
Oh,
he has playoffs.
A better attitude. Oh, excuse me, I didn't realize his attitude
year,
improved. Wow. Okay.
Second year
got
in
you.
The playoffs.
Oh, pardon me.
Second year, he had a full season rookie of the year campaign last year. By the way, if you guys forgot, he was very swing happy. I think the normal progression of a young hitter like Randy Rosarena, like any other star young player that came up in this league, they start the patience comes secondary. You know, they have their hitting skills. What comes next as the player ages is patience and batting eye and whatnot. So I think if that improves, his on-base percentage rockets, he's hitting behind some Brandon Lau, Wander Franco, Austin Meadows. He's going to have his opportunities. He's going to stay healthy, and I think he's just going to have a breakout year. So I guess
okay,
he's my breakout.
I am making fun of you a little bit. Like, this is a little bit of me making fun of you. I do appreciate what you're saying about Randy Rosarena. Yeah. He's obviously not a mediocre player. He's obviously an above-average hitter. I'm roasting you a bit, but I think you and Isaac have a similar bias right now, and that's just – I think you guys are really over-influenced by playoff performance. I think that part of Isaac's negative attitude to Lau is based on bad performance last year, and part of your bullish attitude about Rosarena is still about his playoff performance in 2020.
You know what the
bias is? I think you're still living in 2020.
I think the bias is more just not just playoffs, but like what they've done against the Yankees. Like, me and Isaac are very influenced by that, and I think that has – because I do remember when Brandon Lau was like
0-15.
Yeah, I know. I know you don't. All right. Breakout player of the year, rookie of the year, bounce back player of the year. We kind of have to move a little faster, but what do you guys have there? Ollie, you want to start?
I had breakout Wander, rookie of the year, Shane Baz, and bounce back the reliever, Brooks Raley, who they got from the Astros.
Okay, and I have rookie of the year, Luis Patino. I have breakout player of the year. I also have Wander Franco. And then bounce back player of the year, I have Corey Kluber.
Oh, wow.
Dude, me and Isaac, I had the same exact picks as you. Those
really?
last three, except for the MVP.
You had Patino, Wander, and
yeah.
Kluber?
Yeah, I knew you were going to go Kluber with the bounce back player of the year. Rookie of the year, yeah, I went with Patino. I really have faith in him just from, that's bias from MLB The Show. I had a rookie card of him. Then breakout player of the year, I think it's obvious, it's Franco.
Yeah, so I think Franco is a certified superstar. I kind of feel like it's bad to call it a breakout because, I mean, last year he was filthy.
Like, how much better can he get?
Exactly. What is he going to hit, 320 this season? But for Corey Kluber, I think that needs a little explanation. I think he fits in perfectly with the organization.
That's bias, brother.
I think the Yankees tried to raise Corey Kluber and try to find like little specific things that
Isaac
he, you know,
is kind
to,
of in
to
and out
turn
right
him
now.
Back to, into his Cy Young days. Oh, geez.
Oh,
is he
there
now?
Oh.
All right, I'm gonna continue
talking,
for Isaac.
Talking.
I'm gonna continue for Isaac here as he tries to come back. Corey Kluber, I think what Isaac was trying to say is that he fits perfectly in that rotation, a mix of young guys and Corey Kluber being the veteran. He's going to lead that staff, not in terms of his performance on the field specifically, but I think in terms of teaching these guys. Like Corey Kluber last year when he was on the Yankees, he taught Michael King his Kluber ball. And now Michael King has one of the filthiest slider slash curveball slurve on the Yankee staff, and he like completely
gives
credit to Kluber.
That does not make him a bounce-back player of the year, Ken.
I'm going to get to that.
That
I'm
makes
just,
him a
I'm
good
just,
team.
I'm first talking about what Isaac was trying to say about his value to the rotation of the Rays. Kluber himself, he still has the stuff. Like, he still has the stuff. He threw a no-hitter last year. All he needs to do is stay healthy.
He does not still have the stuff. He objectively The no-hitter was a... He does not saw the stuff. No-hitter was an aberration. You don't, I will you don't, show you the numbers.
Aberration.
To show you
you don't throw no-hitters. You don't throw no-hitters by accident.
He has one pitch left, and it's the worst it's ever been in his career. He's got the Kluber ball, and it's literally the expected weighted on base average against that pitch has gone up every season since 2017. It's the worst
it's
it ever was
It's obviously
going to
go
year.
Up from his fastball historically great Cy Young career, a Cy Young year.
But it's just, like, what, dude, when you're 35 and your numbers are like skyrocketing, this is worrisome, man. It's a bad spiral. It's the wrong direction, dude.
It's
his stuff.
I think,
the only reason he could possibly be better than last year is because he's pitching in that epic pitcher's park.
I think
that's the only reason, dude.
I think you're overestimating Kluber's what I'm saying about Kluber. He's obviously gotten a lot worse. I'm not expecting him to go 18-4 with a 2.5. I think a bounce back player of
the
year on the race. I think he can have.
What are his projections? What are
your
projections for him?
9 to 10. I don't have his exact projections. I think he could go 9-10 wins, a 3.75 to a 4.25 ERA.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Okay, but that's not a bounce back because that's basically where he was last year.
Well, it's bounce back from injury.
It's a lot. It's a bigger bounce. Like he just. I think the biggest bounce back part is that he's going to stay healthy for me. He's going to throw 140 to 160 innings, and that's gonna.
Okay. Do you get me now, Ken? You can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you. What's up?
Yeah.
So, just to elaborate a little bit, because you did say some things I wanted to say, but not exactly. What I think is going to happen is that the Rays are an organization that can find hidden talent. And not hidden talent. It is a bad word. But they'll find something to tweak in a player that will enhance him. And so kind of like what the Giants did last year with a lot of those veterans. I think that's what's going to happen is the Rays are going to find something with Kluber that really works, and especially pitching in that ballpark, I think is going to be great for him. So that's kind of another reason for why I had Kluber there. But yeah, that's all I have for Kluber.
Who's your bounce back, Ollie? I'm ready to roast the shit out of this one.
I had Brooks Raley, the reliever they just got from the Astros.
Oh, you did have Brooks Raley.
A solid lefty who had very bad luck.
He looks
last
like
season.
My UPS driver.
There's a lot of talent left. Oh, God. He kind of does. He's got a goofy face.
Oh, my God.
He looks goofy.
He's got a goofy face. But he had a FIP of 3.27 against a 4.78 ERA, so that's not going to last. He had 12 strikeouts per nine innings, 4 plus 4 strikeout per walks. It's just a numbers thing for me. Like, I look at, you know, that's just a pretty much, there are a few certainties in baseball. When you have, like, peripheral numbers that are that good against an ERA that's just bloated, you can usually expect a recovery. I'm not sure how much they're going to use him. They're kind of weak on lefties right now. Like a lot of people in the AL East, a lot of bullpens in the AL East are weak on lefties. So that's why I just thought he'd see a lot of action. And do better.
All right. I'm actually really interested to see what you guys have as their like wins predictions. But we can't get to that yet.